Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a wonderful show lined up for you once again, as we always do. And I am excited today. Our guest is once again one of the Stars for Autism members, and she has a lot to talk about and discuss. So I'm excited to have her on momentarily. But before we get to our wonderful guest, let's get you caught up on the week that was for both Tony and I. Tony, what did you do this weekend? What was it like for you this week?
Yeah, well, getting back into the groove of, post-holidays for me, and one of the things that I've been working on is some, special trainings and programming for folks here in South Carolina that will give people support in those areas where there's missing training, topics where people really need support, but it's not out there for them. So I've been working really hard on that, consulting with a company, and we're getting ready to launch that actually hopefully this month or maybe next month. And then I have a wonderful kind of partner in crime who has developed an autistic woman's perimenopausal and menopausal tracking calendar that we are publishing. That's going to come out this month as well to help autistic women deal with that important change of life. It's, for autistic women, they deal with all the usual adjustments, but then on top of the usual ones, there can be other uniquely autistic challenges that women have. So I'm really excited about having that. It's a 5-year calendar that women can track what their experiences are and use that as a tool when they need to go and talk to their healthcare provider. So that's very exciting for me as well. So how about you, Eli? I've been waiting all week to hear about your week.
Well, my week was pretty busy as always. I went out to practice last weekend and it went really well. I was pretty sore the day after, but there was no lingering pain in my elbow. My back got a little tight the next day, but it was great to get back out and start working on some things and hitting some shots and being in the environment, the weather. It was pretty chilly and up here in Seattle, but it was great to get out, and I'm going to get out again tomorrow and, kind of increase, the amount of work that I'm going to be able to put in. So things are looking good on that front, and I'm excited about that. I do want to share, one thing that Team Winfrey, did yesterday. As most people know, we went out to we got donations from folks in the community to help this family that we are involved in, and we are very thankful for the donations, the gift cards, the money, the clothes from everyone. It was truly remarkable to get those donations. And we put those to use right away. This family I went to visit yesterday, they definitely have a story to tell. And, I would love to tell their story, but I feel like, I wouldn't be doing it justice to speak on that. I was moved to tears listening to Mr. Moresi, who told me this very powerful and impactful story about his family, his struggles in not only here, he had been deported or was going to get deported. And, he told me how, God kind of helped him through that process. And, he's now a full-fledged citizen, and his family is slowly beginning to make progress, and they've gotten housing, and you know, when I heard this story, I wanted to jump in and help in some way, and we were able to do that, and you know, we delivered the items yesterday, and you know, this relationship will continue throughout the years to come. And I can't wait to either have him on the show or have him, you know, write his story. I know he was very passionate about wanting to tell it. And, you know, when I got down there yesterday, you know, I shook his hand, we hugged, and then he proceeded to tell me the story, and it was hour and 10 minutes long. And I just sat there and I listened to his trials and tribulations. And he has an 8-year-old son with autism. So you can imagine the son having to adjust over and over and over again, you know, to being homeless, to being in a hotel, you know, to finding a home, you know, to sleeping in the car. It was a very tough situation for this family. And I am glad that they're on their feet and we could be a part of their journey and help in any way we can. So be on the lookout for that story, whether it's here or on the website in the coming months or weeks. So that was my
that's
week.
That's wonderful. That's really great to hear. And I think that that's such a neat story given what our guest today does, because I think that this family really is just an example of so many families who have a loved one on the spectrum are dealing with really big financial challenges because, you know, a lot of times, you know, mom can't hold a job because she keeps getting called from the school to come and, you know, pick the kid up who's been kicked out. Or, you know, I know families who mortgage their houses away because, you know, they want to pay for the therapy to help support their kids. So it's a, you know, it's a really, it's a common hardship for, particularly for families on the spectrum who are dealing with, you know, all of those adjustments and then, you know, trying to, you know, just pay the bills and survive. So I'm really excited, you know, given, you know, that our guest is actually going to have solutions for our community to help support families just like this. In any community that you're in, I'm really excited for the, you know, for our guest to share, because she will have solutions for us.
Absolutely. And speaking of our guest today, you know, it seems like this is the Stars for Autism merry-go-round. You know, I have each member of Stars come on the show, and I love it. You know, I feel like I've bonded with these amazing women, and like I said last week, you know, the things that they do in the community, second to none. It inspires me to continue to do what I'm doing, and I love getting feedback by reading their posts and their books. And, you know, I feel like I'm a part of that family, and I'm one of the branches that's, you know, able to take what they're sending, giving out, and helping individuals. And, you know, our guest today is a remarkable mom, wife. She's an awesome friend. And, you know, she has authored books. She's been co-author. She's done tons of things. Shelley Allen joins us today. And Shelley, I marvel at all the work that you have put in to help folks and to make people better. So thank you for taking time out to join the show today.
Thank you, Eli. I appreciate you having me today. This is such an honor. And I'm so excited to be here to kind of talk with you all. And hi, Tony. It's so nice to meet you.
Hi. It's wonderful to meet you. Yeah, I was absolutely thrilled when Eli said that you were going to come and talk, particularly about, you know, I mean, we can talk about lots of things, but I'm in particular interested in hearing what your experience has been with the faith-based communities and supporting them and supporting folks, you know, And so I'm just delighted you're here. So thank you for taking
the time. I am very excited about that. Go ahead.
So Shelly, talk us through how this all started for you. You know, I know you help mentor and work with individuals in high school when you were in high school. So how did all of this come about for you?
Well, I have always had a special place in my heart for people who had special needs. I have a cousin who is severely affected by disabilities, physically and developmentally and intellectually. And as a young girl, like, I watched her and I fell in love with her, and I fell in love with, you know, just her zeal for life and her fearlessness. You know, she wasn't expected to make it past the age of like 2, I think. And then, you know, before you knew it, she was 12, and then she was 16, and she was, you know, they were told that she would never hear or that she would never see, and, you know, now she wears glasses, and she hears, and she talks, and she even has a job now.
Wow.
I'm not sure how old she is now. I think she's probably in her early 20s, but there are so many, you know, just incredible people who are affected by disabilities that, you know, just started to inspire me at a very young age. And, you know, in high school, you're required to do, in my civic class, I think there was like a requirement of like 50 hours of community service. And then in one of my other requirements for a scholarship I was applying for required community involvement. And I did it all at an elementary school there in Springfield, you know, just sitting down and reading stories to the kids in the special ed program there at Delaware Elementary School. And it changed me, you know. It just changes your life, and you just begin to appreciate things from a different perspective. And then, you know, as life had it, you know, here I was a mom, and, you know, we're finding out that my son has autism, and then a couple of years down the road, there's my daughter, and, you know, we're seeing some of the same signs of autism, and I was welcomed into the disability community through the autism piece, you know, with my children, and I'm just so grateful for this community. It's such a beautiful community to be a part of. I've never really seen such collaboration between not only just the families involved, but the community. I mean, we've got supports, the resources that are provided through, you know, just various organizations that have come around and supported our family. And we've, you know, utilized their services. And when our services were done, you know, we just didn't let go of them. They became a part of our family. And, you know, as I began to gather those resources for myself, I didn't want to stop there. I wanted to, you know, give back and, you know, reach back out into the community. And there was moms, you know, that I didn't want a single mom to feel like they had to go at this alone. And, you know, there's that isolation that you feel as a mom, you know, trying to figure out, how do I best care for my children? You know, how do I, you know, what do I do? How do I give them the tools to be successful in life?
Right.
And so I started mentoring with Missouri Family to Family. And over the last, I think I've done this for probably about 4 or 5 years, probably longer, maybe 6, where, you know, I've just talked with moms. We'll call, and I've never been on the phone less than an hour. You know, we'll sit down on the phone, and I don't really talk. They talk to me, and I listen, and the response is just so overwhelming, and they're just, you know, tears are involved, and they're like, you know, I just wanted to tell somebody my story that understood, that had been there, that had walked in my shoes and had experienced, you know, the long nights with no sleep, you know, the tough stuff. You know, not everybody can understand, because they've not been given that perspective on life.
Right.
And so, You know, I just really enjoy that part of it, and I've gained a lot from being a part of that.
Outstanding.
So, yeah.
You know, and being there, you know, and seeing you all work with families, and I know the 2 years that I visited Springfield, the amount of support and love and turnout was tremendous. And you see these families, you see these families that they want you to listen to the story. They don't want to be judged. You know, we oftentimes hear, you know, that, you know, when you interact or you see a family out in public and the child may have a sensory overload issue, that the parents become labeled as being bad, and that's not the case. So the turnout and to listen to these stories when I was there was tremendous, and it was eye opening on so many levels. And it's something that I think that we need to do more of, listening, because they do have a story to tell, as you say.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such hard work. You know, not to, you know, there's so much hard stuff that comes along with being the mom and being the dad of a child that is, you know, they're right there in the trenches, and finding the resources, you know, finding that right doctor that's just going to listen to you and work with you, you know, not just, you know, just ignore you or just put a Band-Aid on anything. You know, you want somebody that's like, you know what, I get, let's try this or let's try that. You know, you want to be able to find those great resources.
Right.
And there's so much of that that, you know, it doesn't get noticed. I mean, it happens behind the closed doors of these homes that, you know, are just a sanctuary for the, you know, the kids and the families. And it takes a special person to walk into those homes and to be able to work, you know, with those families and to be heard is such a valuable and, you know, just a valuable thing, you know, and it
right.
provides so much more worth to what's really going on there. You know, we really love our children and we really, you know, we love to watch them in their, you know, in their strengths and their abilities. And we love to just see the great things that they can do while it's so different from everything that's going on seemingly outside those homes. What's happening,
right.
you know, in the therapy sessions and in, you know, in the homes and even in the communities, these sensory friendly type events that are now popping up all over these communities are so needful and so impactful for these families to get involved. And where, you know, again, the families get to be heard, they get to be seen. So yeah, their stories are pretty important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, this is why I created the show. I wanted to create a platform, and you know, having my awesome co-host Tony further educate listeners and myself, it really helps improve the dynamic that we are all trying to do in the communities. Would you agree with that, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it really is exciting to see how far we've come in terms of the communities at large just being willing to do like the sensory friendly activities. And I would really be interested in hearing what you have to say about our faith-based communities, and because I know you focus a lot on making sure that those sanctuaries are a place that our folks who do have the sensory issues can go and feel safe and get that experience. And then the family, the larger family, can get that support from the churches as well. Can you talk with us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We created Steps Care, 3 years now? And we've been in a, you know, several different churches, and you know, just seeing the different dynamics between the faith communities that we visit it's so specific and so unique to each, you know, faith. And it takes, you know, the supports that are needed, you know, kind of are unique to those communities, as well as the individuals. And so what we do at Steps Cares, we have, you know, when we're given a door into a specific community, we like to go in. And one of the first things that I like to share with them is that, you know, a disability ministry is what we call it, is not necessarily another program. It's much like the handicap parking that we put in our parking lots, or the rails that we put on our stairs. It's a support that is, you know, kind of interwoven between everything that's happening in those faith communities, so we can really connect people in a meaningful way that meets them on their spiritual needs and their spiritual health, you know, just to bring in that faith. So, you know, we've talked about how hard this is, having a faith that you can, you know, kind of lean on, whatever that is or whatever that looks like. If you're able to find that type of support, it's only a benefit, you know, that I think that faith communities can provide.
And I think, you know, I spend a lot of my consultation time working with churches and families who really want to be, you know, having that relationship. I'm wondering if, and you know, faith communities can do so much. I've had situations where one woman needed a car, and so the church got her a car, and you know, helping out with, you know, the financial burdens, you know, paying for therapy for a child, or, you know, helping to pay the rent or the electrical bills. I mean, it's that infrastructure, that support that families really need. And I'm wondering what, you know, if there are people out there who are involved in their churches who, you know, would like to say, well, what can I do to help make, you know, my church a safe space, a place where we can really, really support these families who have the special needs. What advice do you have, or tips or suggestions for people to take back to their churches and say, hey, I think we should try this to make it better?
One of the main challenges, and I'm going to try to go back to your question here, but I think one of the main challenges that happens between families and individuals affected by disabilities and their in these faith communities is the ability to communicate effectively what those specific needs are and exactly what is it that you're asking of each other. Having that understanding, you can really tailor whatever type of support system needs to be in place, as long as the willingness of the communication is established. So what we like to tell people is we always like to start with, you know, getting to know our people, you know, as they come through the doors of, you know, our whatever faith community where they're walking into, you know, building that relationship with the individual and just saying, you know, how would you like to be involved, and how can we best support you? And then preparing the churches on the other end, you know, with the training necessary. We want teachers or, you know, whatever the situation is, whoever the leadership of the church is, to kind of have a good foundational understanding of what it is to have sensory needs, or what is it like to have these physical needs that need to be met within the community. And when they kind of have that foundation of, you know, what does it mean to have a sensory need, or what does it mean to have a communication delay, or, you know, what's going on when this specific behavior is kind of happening, and how do I do this? You know, how do we work with these families? And when they kind of have a little bit of educational foundation there, then when the families come to them and they say, okay, well, Johnny has, you know, struggle, you know, sitting in a seat, you know, during, you know, any portion of time? You know, is there a place where, you know, he can just get his energy out? You know, is there an open space that is not going to cause any distraction for anybody? How can we include him in classes that are geared for his age? You know, whatever the situation is there at that in that particular community, that, you know, we like to just kind of even at the ground level, you know, just level everything out and say, okay, well, here's what you need to know. Here's what the families are going to tell you. You got to come in the middle and say, okay, well, how can we best serve you? And really listen, and then take, you know, the information that you've been provided through, you know, trainings, and then put those things into place.
I think that's really neat, because this is something that, you know, Eli talks about a lot, is that just listening and not making the assumptions. And I think that, you know,
exactly,
when you have your routine, you have your process going and what works for most people, you just kind of assume, oh, well, the person's not going to have any trouble sitting in their seat, because most kids, you know, most 10-year-olds should be able to sit in their seats for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the acoustics in this sanctuary don't bother me, so I don't even stop to think, oh, maybe this is loud and it hurts somebody's ears. Those are things that people just take for granted, that their life experience is pretty similar to other people. So just taking that step back and asking the question, okay, what is it that I need to know about this person, is a great start. I always have families create a special book for the community they want to be a part of that talks about their, you know, their child and what, you know, what makes them special, how they can contribute, and what areas where they're going to need support in. So I love that idea. It's great.
Yeah, I always tell the people that we're working with, I'm like, you know, if you know what makes a person laugh and what makes them cry, you can truly know a person. I think that's a John Maxwell quote. But, you know, if you know what their reinforcers are and what their triggers are, then you you just play off of those. If you know what makes, you know, what are they like, then get to know them. Bring in those things that they like, and then just continue to grow in those relationships, those positive. You know, I always talk about building on the successful moments. If you take one successful moment, then they're going to be willing to try the next thing. So give them more successful opportunity and more opportunities to be successful. And then just continue to grow on those. And I think that so much of the time we see so much struggle, and there's less success over and over again. And the more that you're experiencing these hard, you know, we come in and we just have to, like, walk right back out because the support isn't there to keep us there. So a lot of families will come and it just doesn't work. And they're getting tired. I mean, they're worn out already, and they're coming to this place of worship, you know, to try to find a sense of hope, a sense of, you know, kind of resolution, you know, just peace, maybe, whatever the reason is for walking through the doors of a faith community. If there's a constant struggle there with their, you know, whatever the need is, then they're not going to come back. And so, you know, the more support that they have and the more success that they're experiencing, even more that they're going to keep coming back because they've found something that's working.
And you touched on something really important there too. And I think it's full participation to whatever degree that person or that family is able. So what if most families can come at the beginning of the service and sit all the way through the Sunday school and the service, or, you know, whatever the ceremonies or the experiences are. You know, for some families, that's not a reality. Maybe, you know, just sitting for 15 minutes and then leaving is a huge success. And that's participation to the extent that that individual or that family, you know, can make it at that point. And you can grow and build
off
of that.
Exactly. I like that you said that, because what we also like to encourage what we call outreach type endeavors, where you know, we meet the families wherever they're at. You know, if they're only able to be in like our regular scheduled programming for 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe we can create opportunities that are tailored just for those needs and include, you know, other members from that community in a situation that just is better for us or for that particular individual. And so there's other ways. I mean, you know, there are people of that community that are concerned, oh, they're only coming for 5 or 10 minutes. You know, that doesn't seem like very much. Well, I mean, from a personal standpoint, you know, our son, we'll bring him in and we sit in the very back, and we come in late because there's a transition, you know, from the start of the service into the, you know, the worship service. And we'll sit there through one or two songs and then we're up and we're gone. But he is so happy. The joy that he gets from being there during those, you know, first few songs that are played during those worship services, that's all he needs, you know? To push him any further would only make the experience a bad one. Let's keep making it a good one. So we'll pop up and we follow his lead. And, you know, continuing churches that continue this experience outside of their regular program is just, they're going to be that much more successful with the disability community.
That's great picking up some of the box.
Yes.
Outstanding. Shelley, I love the work that you do, and I'm looking forward to being out in Springfield this summer, actually. And we had a guest, a listener, as we do email questions of the week, asked if Tony would be there. So, you know, we hopefully
I'm looking into it.
We may be able to.
Oh, Tony, that would be
happen,
wonderful. Yes, we have so much fun in Springfield, and the people there are just, I mean, you'll be hooked.
Yeah, and it's been, I haven't been to Springfield in probably 15 or maybe even 20 years. It's been a long time, but I've always, you know, I've always loved that part of the country. So I'd love to. Eli, you have to send me your dates.
I will definitely do that for sure. Now, Shelley, before we let you go, where can the folks reach you? You know, if they have more questions or maybe want to check out your books and get advice, where can they go on the social platforms to catch up with you?
Well, all of my stuff, all my resources can be found at stepscare.org. And there's links to all of our social media platforms on there. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So you can find us there. And we always love talking with people, and whether that's, you know, parents that are just needing, you know, somebody else to talk to, or if you're you know, somebody looking into being more of a support to a family who has special needs, whether that be faith-based or whatever, we're super excited to talk with those people.
Outstanding. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure, and we have definitely enjoyed you. Keep up the great work that you do. Continue to inspire all of us. Because believe me, you're doing that in so many ways.
You inspire me too, Eli.
I continue to learn so much from you, and I implement it into what I'm trying to do in the communities here and throughout the country. And I'm very blessed and fortunate to call you a friend. So thank you so much for all you do. And I'm sure Tony will echo the same thing. So.
Yes, thank you so much. It's wonderful you could be here today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
And if you if you ever need to promote or you want to talk about anything, feel free to reach out. This is your platform.
Oh, I will. I promise I will.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
You take care. You take care, and you tell your lovely family I said hello.
I will. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. What an outstanding person. You know, I continue to be educated and informed on things, you know, that we so badly need to hear. And I am just thrilled that Shelley could take a little bit of time out. And she'd been under the weather for a few days. And I'm thankful that she was well enough to come on the show and share some of the things that that was, you know, desperately needed to share.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was, and I'm really, you know, there's so much of a need to support the faith-based communities and families who want to participate in them. So I'm really, really pleased to hear that, you know, there are people who are responding to that need and giving the support that, you know, that needs to be there so that can be a success.
Absolutely.
Really great.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Now, you know, this is normally the part where we take questions of the week, but we won't do that this week. We'll return to that next week. I just wanted to kind of, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, the autism community and what we're going to be up to this weekend. You know, I Shelley had mentioned in talking with us, you know, about listening and understanding and sitting in the homes of the parents. And you know, I wanted to share this bit of information that I received from a family member, not a family member, I'm sorry, a friend who has a wonderful family but has kids on the spectrum. And we were out doing this walk one year for autism, and it's a great walk, and you know, I encourage people to do more of those. They're great. But she kind of, you know, as she was talking to us, she kind of made the point of saying, you know, the walk is great. I absolutely love it. It's awesome. It can be life-changing on so many levels. But if you really want to know what it's like, come sit in my house for a day and follow me around and just listen and observe to get a better perspective, because you don't always get that perspective during the walk because it is very well organized and you know, you're kind of doing things in a straight line. Whereas you come to my house, you see a bit of the norm of what I go through on a daily basis, what my son has to, you know, deal with or struggle with and how we get him through that. So, you know, she said that, you know, that would also be a something to think about, to maybe have a few advocates come in and sit inside of the home to experience that firsthand, you know, and that hit home for me, because that's something that I try to do, you know, to get to better understand, you know, to know what it's like and how best I can then help or offer services. So I just wanted to share that, because, you know, Shelley kind of brought that point up, and I wanted to make sure that the listeners kind of got a better understanding.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. Really good advice.
Absolutely. Now, what are you doing this weekend? Any big plans? Are you going to take it easy, relax?
Well, I'm going to work this weekend a little bit on developing content, and I've taken a break from my support groups, but I'm going to actually do some work this weekend to get those up and running again, my women's support group and my young adult support group. And so I'm going to be doing that and doing some other content development. And then my youngest, my 8-year-old, has got acrylic paints and canvases for Christmas, and he's sold. He loves it. We took him to an art gallery last night. A friend was having a show, and he just said, "I'm so inspired by everything." So we're going to do some painting this weekend. How about you, Eli?
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I am. I'm going to hit the gym today and then come back and
good.
Relax and have date night and watch a movie. And then tomorrow I'll be back out practicing, working on some things and continuing to build towards
the
season.
I'm so glad that you're moving forward on that. That's got to be a really good feeling to be making progress.
It is. It feels good. You know, I think, you know, I have a few more competitive years left, and I think combining golf with my work in the community has continued to motivate me to kind of continue to get better and to kind of, you know, see this thing through the finish line and then completely dedicate, you know, the rest of my time, you know, kind of working and building a nonprofit and helping more families. So, the weekend, yeah, it's pretty set. So, a little bit more active than just relaxing, but I'm ready for it. I feel like I have enough energy to get that done. So, I'll have another update next week on how it went. So, with that being said, you know, this is another great show that that we put in the books, and we are very thankful for the listeners and our outstanding guest, Shelley, for joining us today. Please look her up. She does great work, and she's a wonderful person, and she has an outstanding family. So make sure you keep tabs on what she's up to in the community. We look forward to next week. And, you know, I am working on some things, and I will let Tony in on it first off the air before, you know, I kind of spring this on everybody. But there are going to be a few changes going forward with the show that I'm excited about. And I've been kind of throwing some things on the wall, and some of them have stuck. And so I'm going to, at some point, have a nice conversation with my co-host and see how she feels about it, and then we'll go from there. But until next week, we wish you all a great weekend. Get out there and make someone or something better. Believe in yourself. The only way you can affect change is first believing that you can do it and follow the process. Until next week, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.